Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Aquaman number 32. Cover date March 1967. Cover price 12 cents. Cover artist Nick Carty. Edited by George Cashton. Featuring Triton the Terrible. Written by Bob Haney. Art by Nick Carty. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go!
Fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
See how the morning mist can hide us away.
Hide us away. And
how the day is so much fun. What?
Following an undersea earthquake, Aquaman inspects the damage and discovers an undetonated nuclear missile. Then, the Ocean Master arrives to steal the missile, and Aquaman wrestles with his inability to fight Ocean Master, who is secretly his estranged half-brother. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
Some other boy holds her heart, but he can never be true, and so she tells her troubles to
cast off the shackles of the HOA and smile, smile, smile.
Well, congratulations to Dr. Husband. He has tendered his resignation from the HOA board.
After 8 years of voluntary service, I am through.
Not only voluntary service, but the only person who ever did any work.
Yeah, I'm the one.
Because he was the treasurer.
Pays the insurance.
Files, I say that as a former president.
Files the West Virginia filing paperwork, and also does all the invoices and takes care of recording all the dues and all that sort of thing. Balances the checkbook, all that stuff.
Maybe I should announce myself as my grandmother, Mrs. White, did with the Beauseant, past Supreme President.
Past Supreme President, yeah. I won't go into details. There was just an unfortunate... all HOAs have problems, and we've been working through some issues with our rewriting our bylaws, and a member of our community...
Point of order.
Yes.
You've been working through issues with talking about rewriting the bylaws.
Yes, for 2 years.
And I've seen the minutes since 2010. That's 15 years. And so the moral of the story is don't volunteer to be on your neighborhood HOA the week that you move into a house.
Yes. Well, in fairness, we did move into the former treasurer's home.
Yes, but that doesn't, it's not a hereditary title.
No, no.
You don't have to assume the...
No, but at least I don't have
to.
I don't have to sit around for hours and hours and hours on it and listen to the same stories repeated over and over again and presented as if the stories are coming to the person's mind for the first time over and over again and received in such a way as if, oh, yes, 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 I hadn't thought about that. I'm like, really? Because this is the 15th time I've heard this. I'm so tired of this. I didn't say that out loud.
Right. Maybe you should have.
No, I just, you know.
Well, I've got bad news for you. I'm starting to lose my mind. So you're going to be hearing the same stories over and over.
Well, from you, they're good stories.
For a long time to come.
They're good stories.
Are they?
Generally, and I said usually. So anyway, yes. Yeah, and of course, I've just awoken from a nap.
Uh-huh.
So, oh, my God. So okay, I just want to say, can we just talk before we dive into this thing?
Sure. No pun intended. It's right. Aquaman.
So I am one of our listener friends, longtime listener friends, is gonna hate that I'm talking about this. But frankly, I don't care. And if you don't like it, get in a plane and come down here, and we can fight about it because I can kick your ass. Anyway, Mr. I started training for a half marathon.
Uh huh.
Right. I started training last week, which was okay, right? This week, oh my God. The only way that I could possibly not run and feel like I'm dying is if I were to run at 5 a.m. It's the worst.
Well, yeah.
It's like there's no evaporation from your body whatsoever.
Right.
It is awful.
It's 100 degrees. That's in the Fahrenheit 90s. For our foreign listeners.
Yes.
Very high humidity.
Very high. And just nothing evaporates.
Also, you're running, which is terrible.
It feels good.
Well, you know what my mother would say.
You're going to ruin your fucking knees.
Knees.
Yeah.
Also, World War III has started, so there's that.
Yeah. Well, apparently that's stopped. Apparently.
Well, it stopped for 15 minutes. Yes. Now it's back on again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So.
I don't know what to believe.
Everything is garbage.
I'm going to do my own research later on the internet.
But I've never found myself so thrilled to be awaiting the arrival of a thunderstorm as I am
coming in 2 days.
But today was supposed to be the hottest of the 3 yeah. days of the heat dome.
Sure.
So tomorrow, I don't know. I might end up getting up like at 5 o'clock, throwing on my running clothes and getting out right away. You know.
You know who else has to worry about heat and dehydration?
Aquaman. I was surprised to find out that he couldn't be out of water for longer than an hour.
Really?
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Forever?
Yeah.
Like, how does he? He spends a lot of time sitting in the Hall of Justice, in the cartoons. Like, what does he do? Does he have his foot in a bucket of water?
In an issue of Teen Titans,
yes,
Aqualad, as we know him, just drank a glass of water, and that took care of the issue.
Oh.
Later on mm-hmm. in Justice League...
Did someone spit on someone?
No. Okay. When Aquaman was the leader of the Justice League, when they were headquartered in Detroit, Michigan, he had a special, some sort of underwire brassiere situation, which was filled with water, which kept him hydrated.
Oh, okay.
But yes,
it's really like an hour.
1 hour out of water, and he on the minute of the hour, he dies immediately.
Well, that's crazy.
I know that is crazy. I have a problem with that. I had thought somewhere in the back of my brain that he had to come in contact with water once every 24 hours.
Yes, me too.
But I might be confusing that with Green Lantern having to charge his ring.
Okay.
Because I've just checked Wikipedia, and according to their reference of Adventure Comics number 256, it is that he has to be in contact with water once per hour.
Okay.
So, meaning an hour out of water, to the minute, he's dead.
Wow.
So set your watches. 1 hour out of water and Aquaman dies. Is this his last minute of life?
Well, let's find out.
It's Aquaman number 32, mm-hmm. Thundering from the Deep, Triton the Terrible. That's Triton with a Y. Not Triton with an I, because Triton with a Y, because yeah, not Recognize the gent tangling with our boy Aquaman above? Right. He's back. The sinister Deadly Ocean Master. But he's almost good news compared to the guest star lurking inside. The awesome one you shall know as...
Triton the Terrible.
You'll recall, which will become important later in the story, that Ocean Master, a.k.a. Orm, is Aquaman's half-brother.
Yes. Who's the father? Well, obviously they're the same mother, right? Or not?
No. I believe in this iteration, Orm is the son of... Tom Curry, the lighthouse keeper, who was Aquaman's human father.
Okay, all right.
In later continuity, they are both secretly the child of Atlan, the wizard from ancient Atlantis.
Oh, with different mothers.
Yes.
Obviously.
In fact, Ocean Master in that incarnation was an Inuit Eskimo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
The more you know, Rob.
Well.
The more you know. Atlantis, the world's most unique city. Home of the world's most unique superhero, the water-breathing king of the seas, Aquaman, where suddenly a mighty tremor rocks the great shimmering dome.
Now, are they... Why are they under a dome?
I guess...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to challenge you in this way.
No, I don't have all the answers,
okay.
Rob.
Okay, all right.
I think originally the idea was that when Atlantis sank, that it would be domed so that they could just continue breathing air, but then at some point they all got able to breathe water and decided nonetheless to keep the dome.
Okay.
And also other things that don't make sense underwater, like chairs and miniskirts.
All right.
Anyway, so, there's a sea quake happening.
There's a sea quake.
And on a balcony of the Atlantean palace, as you recall, Aquaman is king of Atlantis at this time, Aquababy has something to say.
Gah, gah, gah.
Aquaman doesn't understand because Atlantis is built on special coral sands that absorb any tremors.
Really?
Again, if Atlantis was built pre-deluge,
mm-hmm.
why would it be built on coral sand?
I
have a lot of problems with the writer of this issue, which, as you know, is Bob Haney.
Okay, may I ask one more question, which I think you can answer?
Sure, yeah.
How is Aqualad related to Aquaman?
He is not. Okay. Aqualad was a foundling. There's a superstition that children born with purple eyes could not survive underwater.
Okay.
And so Aqualad was abandoned because he had purple eyes.
Okay.
And Aquaman adopted him, you know.
Okay. So he's no blood relation to Aquaman?
No blood relation.
Okay.
Now, the sea quake does not abate until it suddenly does.
Right.
And thank goodness, because Aquababy was so terrified. Well, as is their duty as king and queen, Aquaman and Mira go out to soothe the populace of Atlantis and promise to rebuild. Hooray!
Yay!
But not long after, as a survey is made of a nearby coral quarry where they're going to have to gather plenty of coral blocks from this canyon to rebuild the damaged parts of Atlantis. Coral is a living thing.
Okay, so
coral,
well, that's how we get limestone, kind of. It's not, I've never seen like, okay, limestone is a sedimentary rock. Limestone was originally composed of the calcified living remnants of organic creatures that once lived inside them. So theoretically, limestone would also include coral.
Yes.
But not coral like you think of it, like coral, like let's say a brain coral, right?
Sure.
The living thing inside of a brain coral is actually inside the cells of the coral and around it. They are living creatures that secrete the calcium that builds the structure.
Right.
They convert their nutrients into that. They can die and leave behind that structure. That's why you'll see what we call bleached coral reefs, where you'll see structures like that, the finger coral and stuff like that, where it looks bleached white. And if you touch it, you can break it. So that substance can break down and become the sand upon which beaches are composed.
So it's not a good surface to build a city on top
of. Oh, I'm sorry. So what can happen over time through plate movements and such is that, I mean, vast amounts of time, is that it can be compacted with other shells and other materials that formerly were housing organic components to become limestone. And therefore, the coral could be there. So it is possible that, let's say, there's a great shelf movement or tectonic movements, and these are compressed, and that they could create quarries underneath the ocean where they could cut away large blocks of sedimentary stone. Yes.
But we see.
But you're not going to go to a coral reef and just like slice it like a cake and use that as building material.
No, because we see here that Atlantean scientists have declared no quake fault exists under Atlantis.
Yeah.
So how could there be a sea quake there?
Yeah.
Also, doesn't coral support a diverse biome?
Living coral does. Remember, living coral and dead coral are still called the same thing.
I'm still confused. I don't like science.
You do too. It's not that hard.
That's so, what she said.
So coral, remember that when the living organisms die or leave, they leave behind their skeletons. Just like, sponges, sea sponges, right? The sponges, the organic, normal sea sponges that you can still buy in like gift shops, whatever, used to use in their homes.
Sure.
I've got some over there in a jar,
yeah.
Right? That is what's left over from the living the living sponge that once existed inside it. So, but we call the sponge a living or a dead sponge, or the remnants of a sponge. We still call it a sponge.
Sure.
Same thing with coral.
Well, hold on to your hat.
Okay.
First of all, I have a question for one particular listener. I know that Aquaman's seahorse is named Storm, and I know that Aqualad's seahorse is named Imp, but here Mira is riding a seahorse, and I've never known that it had a name. I just wonder if it does.
Well, our listener, if it's to be known, he will let us know. And Imp is actually...
Mentioned later.
Okay.
Anyway, they're out surveying the damage and going to the coral quarry when suddenly the peacefully hovering ranks of fish nearby... Vast herds of undersea creatures.
I like how in the vast herds of undersea creatures, which is basically whales and sharks,
yeah,
they're all separated by color and size.
Well,
they're
yeah,
not they're, intermingled.
No, they're. This is before segregation. They're desegregation of schools. Schools.
I can see that. I mean, I can see that the whales might be grouped together for protection of the pod, as would for all the whales and the. But the sharks would likely not be swimming in schools like you see.
No,
and the shellfish would potentially be doing that.
Sharks are solitary creatures, are they not?
As far as we know, yes.
Anyway, suddenly the peacefully hovering ranks of fish are jolted by a shock wave of terror, and next instant a gigantic undersea stampede is on.
Right. I've noticed that Aqualad uses alliteration, like
yes.
Holy hagfish. At some point, he talks about guitar fish, grumbling guitar fish, like Robin does
yes.
with Batman.
Well, Robin's always a holy, but yes, Aqualad uses alliteration, like Wonder Woman, Suffren Sappho.
Oh, yeah. Is that a DC thing or a writer thing?
It's just a thing.
Okay, it's a thing.
Aqua
Baby is. Why don't they just give him a real name?
Mira does have a real name.
Mira has a name.
I know.
She's Mira. Aquaman is Aquaman. She doesn't call him Arthur. I mean, at least not in this issue.
No.
Right? Aquaman's Aquaman. Aqualad's Aqualad. Mira is Mira.
Yes.
Or Mara.
Well, Aqualad's name is Garth.
What? Garth.
Yes.
Garth.
Garth.
Like as in Garth Brooks, the
No, as in Garth Aqualad.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, we don't get to read Aquaman very often.
I know, because it's only 8 times a year published.
So when we get around to them about once every year and a half, I have lots of questions.
Sure, that's fine.
It's so different from the regular diet of Superman,
yes.
Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen,
mm-hmm.
and Batman that we get. This is a welcome respite from the land fighting series.
Anyway, Aqua Baby does have a name. It's Arthur Jr.
Arthur Jr.
Arthur Jr. So, yeah, I don't know why they don't call him. Because he's
why
not.
Why don't they call him Artie?
Right.
Or Art.
Because he's not out fighting crime. He doesn't need to be called Aqua Baby.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Because I was like, I couldn't quite figure out why it bothered me so much that he's called Aqua Baby. That'd be like you're the baby in the family and they call you baby all the time. Like, baby. Baby, come here. Does baby want something? Baby, look what baby just did.
I mean, if I had a baby, that's probably what I do.
You would call it a...
What would you do with
kitten?
Well, yeah, I call kitten, even though he has a name.
And he's years old. He's
yes.
not a kitten anymore.
No, he is not. He's a giant, fat cat.
I call him by his name all the time.
I don't even do the, if I say a name, it's not his real name. It's a pet name.
Yeah.
Because he's a pet.
His name is Mr. Willoughby, but you call him Willikers. Willikers. But mostly you just call him Kitten.
Kitten.
Yeah, and he answers to both.
He answers to everything.
Yeah.
As long as I feed him. Well, it's no good because Aqua Baby, he's the Prince of Atlantis. Why don't they call him Prince Arthur?
Why do they call him Garth?
They, because he is a superhero. They call him Aqualad.
Oh, well, sorry. So Aqualad's name is Garth.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. His name is Garth.
Yes.
But Aqua Baby
is Arthur Jr.
Arthur Jr.
Prince of Atlantis. His Royal Highness Arthur Jr. Mumbling Mantas. Aqua Baby has slipped away, and he's right in the path of the fish stampede.
Way to go,
Mara. That
would
be a great name for a seafood buffet restaurant.
The fish stampede.
The fish stampede.
All right, let's go. So as the fantastic juggernaut of terror, stricken fins. Oh, sorry. let me read that.
Mind your hyphens.
Like an educated human being. As the fantastic juggernaut of terror-stricken fins, flukes and tentacles hurtles down the canyon.
Aquaman is going to try to stop them with a mighty telepathic command.
Quick as thought itself, Aquaman's unique power hurtles out toward the onrushing fish horde.
And this is the classic radiating hoops of mental energy, as you would see on Super Friends.
Yes.
It's no use.
They're terrified.
The fish are terrified. He can't seem to stop them.
Aquaman, you must. She calls him, she doesn't say Arthur. She calls him Aquaman.
Yeah.
Aren't they married?
They are married. Also,
like you and I calling each other by our professional titles.
Doctor.
Yeah, like all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's try it.
No.
Also, guess what? Of the three people standing here watching doom coming upon this baby,
yeah,
Mira's the most powerful.
Yeah, she could totally make a wall around him, or even a little ramp, a little hard water ramp, right?
Something.
A box.
You'd think a mother's instincts would take over, even
no,
if she's terrified.
Instead, she just sobs and bites her hand.
And commands Aquaman to do all the work.
Mm.
Okay, Mira, I'll think harder. Well, Aqua Baby's not scared. He says, "Gaga, nice fishies." The fish surround Aqua Baby. This is like that Lion King stampede.
Yeah, yeah.
The stampede finally comes to a halt. Mira's inconsolable.
Well, they pass over him.
Yes, Mira's inconsolable because she assumes Aqua Baby is dead. Spoiler alert, he will be later. You're gasping.
What?
Yes.
Not in the issue.
Not in this issue. Oh. Later in time, he's murdered by Black Manta.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
But what's this? Aqua Baby alive.
He's been saved. Me okay, gaga, me okay.
It's Topo. Good old Topo the Octopus saved him.
Good.
But did you notice? He's talking. Aqua Baby said real words.
He said, okay, me okay. Great.
He also said, nice fishies, ga, ga, ga.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, previous page.
Okay, cool.
Well, this is common scientific knowledge. The shock of the whole experience must have caused him to start talking. But there's no time to enjoy it. We better find out what caused that stampede.
Check, Aquaman. That was him saying.
So I guess Mira goes back to Atlantis. Aquaman and Aqualad take off on Storm and Imp. When they are suddenly, well, Aqualad and Imp.
Fluttering thief nails.
Are startled by a giant eyeball peering at them from the sea floor. A huge eye looking out through that coral hole. That's what scared the fish.
Now, when Aquaman says, what gives little sardine? Is that like a little pet name for Aqualad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he often calls him Minnow.
Oh, okay.
Again, why not just say Garth, but...
Garth. Garth.
Aquaman doesn't see anything, so he assumes that the teen just imagined it.
Yes, that's
making up stories.
Yeah, we always just assume.
Well, you may not believe me, but what scared Imp? I tell you it was there, a gigantic eye, like the eye of some giant thing or person.
The next instant, the very floor of the sea heaves as if it would no longer contain something terrible, some terrible force, some restless, relentless thing that would free. It's weird. These words are stacked in a retrograde.
They're trying to be creative with the panel shapes and sizes. And it's,
you know what? When I read this comic, of course, I was lying in bed because comics induce a nap for me, which is nice. I got to this. I started reading this. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because of how the panels are.
Yeah.
I said, it's not going to all be like this, is it? And I went click, 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 click. And I was like, the entire issue is this crazy panel drawing with these wide borders and the font going in different, or the words going in different directions.
It must be so challenging for you.
Well, I was trying to imagine how little Chuck was sitting as a child I imagine him as with a childlike body with his adult head with a beard, which is funny for me, reading a comic with his flashlight underneath the covers and just staying awake, trying to figure, like reading and reading and reading his comics, just so excited about this. It's like, I can't seem to channel that kind of energy when I read these. I just want to go to sleep.
Chuck, of course, is the host of our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra.
Yes.
Check it out.
He's awesome.
And loves Aquaman.
Yes.
And now, thrusting up with awesome might, it comes. Something huge and less than human, and yet more than human.
it's not enough to say human-like.
No.
Humanish.
It's both less and more than human. It's a giant hand coming out of the sea floor.
And grabs Aquaman and thrusts him out of the ocean and into the air above and holds him fast.
Seemingly wants to hold him there indefinitely, and you know what that means.
Holy hagfish. Everybody knows what that means. 1 hour, and a water breather like Aquaman has had it. If you're worried about the old liquid lungs, splash on to part two. Let's go.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Wait, let's pause at the letter column.
I was wondering if you were going to go to that.
Dear editor, every so often, a character's full potential isn't realized until he has gone through numerous art and format changes. Such was the case with Aquaman. Our hero today hardly resembles his golden age version of the 40s. What he needs are more quote-unquote different stories to erase the image of stereotyped ones. May I suggest a tale in which our hero joins the U.S. Marine Corps and becomes an Aquamarine? Get it? Tell Bob Haney I'll split the Alley Award with him. Signed, Mark Evanier, Los Angeles, California.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I thought it was like Mark Evanier. But of course, it's Mark Evanier.
Honestly, I don't know how it's pronounced. It could be Evanier. He
probably says Evanier.
Mark Evanier is a well-known figure in comicdom.
Mm-hmm.
He, shortly after this letter was published, in 1969, he got his first, sold his first story.
Mm-hmm.
So he was taken on as a production assistant to Jack Kirby. He began writing comic books for the Walt Disney Studio program, wrote for Gold Key Comics, including the story The Greatest of E's, where he revealed that the E in Wile E. Coyote stands for Ethelbert.
Really?
Yes. He wrote for a number of television shows, including The Nancy Walker Show, The McLean Stevenson Show, and Welcome Back, Cotter, for which he was the story editor.
Aww.
He wrote for and eventually ran the Hanna-Barbera comic book division at Marvel Comics. He also wrote a number of variety shows and specials and began writing for animated cartoon shows, including Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo, The Plastic Man Comedy Adventure Show, Thundar the Barbarian, Yogi Bear's All-Star Comedy Christmas Caper, Richie Rich, The Wuzzles, and Dungeons & Dragons. He is most noted in animation for his work on Garfield and Friends, a seven-season series for which he wrote or co-wrote nearly every episode and acted as voice recording director.
Wow.
He credits himself with convincing Jack Kirby to stop using Vince Coletta as an inker, and he considers himself one of Coletta's main vilifiers.
Oh my goodness.
He has written for a number of comic books, including Black Hawk from the 80s, which returned Black Hawk to its World War II roots.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a great blog called something, Thoughts From Me. I'll investigate that. Just Google his name. You'll find it. And he is one of the few people who has attended every year the San Diego Comic-Con from the times when it was called the Golden State Comic-Con.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know?
I know.
Very interesting.
And it all started with a letter to Aquaman.
Oh, goodness. Good for him.
Triton the Terrible, part two.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Aquaman is trapped in this hand. Aqualad tries to lasso the hand to free Aquaman. It's no good.
No, he gets the cooperation of some whales.
Yes.
Whales.
But it's no good. The rope breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't move an inch. Aqualad himself leaps up and tries to pry the hand loose.
No luck.
No dice.
Nope.
Well, he's just a little thing.
Well, you know, you never know.
As my mother would say, he's no bigger than a popcorn fart.
I'm going to regret asking this.
What?
Because you always get so angry with me when I ask this. Does Aqualad possess any superhuman strength?
Well, he is able to survive the crushing pressure of the ocean depths. And like Aquaman, he does possess greater strength than a normal human being,
yes. But not like the strength of like
Superman. It's not a Superman, but no. But
what would the right word be, superlative word for that? If it's not superhuman strength, it would be something that's
Certainly he could say stop a tank or something, I would think. Yeah. Aquaman certainly can.
Okay. So it's not unusual. I mean, we're not looking at Aqualad trying to pry this giant hand open and thinking, well, he has the strength of a child.
He has the strength of an Atlantean child, which is more than a human adult, I would say.
Thank you. I thought you'd get an arse tongue scolding.
No, it's only when you claim Batman has superpowers.
No. Yeah.
Well, here comes Mira. She's created another giant hand out of hard water. That's her power. She can make things out of water.
And she's very powerful.
Very powerful. Again, I'm not a fan of how Bob Haney's treating her, because why doesn't she just make a hard shell of water, which is filled with liquid water, which surrounds Aquaman?
Or why doesn't she use her hard hand to splash water up on Aquaman?
Yeah.
I mean, her giant hand just goes splash. Okay, he's fine.
Or create like a hard water bridge over the top of Aquaman and then make it unhard so it splashes down on top of him. And do that once an hour until he's free.
I mean, she's created a hard water hand, which does successfully pry free Aquaman from the grip of this monster, right?
Well, yes.
Yes, but what I'm saying is like
Aquaman's lost consciousness.
She could have just splashed water up on him with the giant hand and then pried him free, bought him some more time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or, you know, anybody could have just gotten a bucket and dragged it up this hand and poured it on Aquaman.
Well, I suppose so.
If they have buckets in Atlantis, which I'm assuming they do, because they have
bedclothes
and chairs.
Commanded the whales to blow water up onto him.
Oh, good call.
Well, don't say that. A good call, because I mean, that was a lucky guess, because I am the same person who in one role-playing game, to get our party out of a giant net, decided to conjure a whale.
A full-size whale, yes.
Which crushed us and did damage to us.
And we died, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, suddenly the hand lets Aquaman go, lets him drop back into the water, and the hand sinks back down under the sea floor. They'd better get back to Atlantis and check this out. But on their way, they notice a fissure, which was opened up by the seaquake, and in it is an old building.
You know, when we play role-playing games, I should just go full-on crazy. Like,
oh, is that not like what you've been doing?
I mean, that was silly, and like everybody laughed and they made fun of me and stuff like that. Like
they still do to this day. And it was what, 7 years ago?
It was fantastic. It was like, I should just do that all the time. I mean, do you remember that other play?
Is that not what you've been doing?
No, like I have other thoughts in my head that are like so adjacent to the appropriate thing to do. Not like like crazy, like just like so comedically ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I got that. And the other role playing game we were doing, that's how I got the nickname Buttons, because I would just push buttons. When if there were buttons, I would like, let's push all the buttons. I want to start pushing all the buttons, see what happens.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, I don't give into that as often as I want to.
Good just, to know.
Yeah.
Maybe that explains why we haven't been invited to play an RPG for several years.
I know.
Great Waves. This building is probably from the time when Atlantis was an upper world continent. It does have Grecian columns. That's classic pre-Diluvian.
Grecian columns.
Let's check it out. It looks like it's a laboratory. The lab of, oh, Tadpole. That's what Aquaman calls
Tadpole. Aquaman.
Well, they discover it's the lab of Dr. Triton, according to the name plate on his desk. It must have gotten buried when Atlantis sank into the sea. I wonder what this crystal rod does.
Now,
I'm going to point it right at Aqualad and see.
Now, what happens is he grips this crystal rod firmly, and his body heat warms its molecular structure, and it shoots out a bolt of
electricity.
Energy. Yeah.
Aquaman,
which is a really cool thing. Yeah. Like, this is a great weapon.
Aquaman theorizes that the rod must be able to step up the body's energy currents like a transformer, making them strong enough to do damage. This Dr. Triton was quite a scientist. Well, Aquaman remembers something familiar about that name, Triton.
Triton.
Again, that's Triton with a Y, not Triton with an I, because Triton with an I goes it, not wood.
Yeah.
Aquaman takes Aqualad and Mira to a dusty old library.
Dusty?
Oh, no, sorry. Musty.
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 Now, is it dry inside this library?
It looks to be. So maybe they do have areas of Atlantis which are kept water-free? Again, I don't know, because they have beds with bedclothes and chairs.
They have beds.
Underwater, yeah.
Okay.
The entire history of Atlantis is contained in this library. And listen to this scroll that I'm about to read. Long ago, when Atlantis existed on dry land but was threatened by quakes and tidal waves that finally sank it under the sea, there lived a great engineer hyphen scientist named Dr. Triton with
a Y. So Dr. Triton is looking out from his laboratory, and he's looking at these waves crashing on a seawall, and he says, the seawall, it will never stop the waves. They grow bigger by the hour. The next quake will seal the city's doom, unless...
The dome I designed is our only chance, but there is not time or workers available to erect such a huge structure before the next attack of the sea.
There is only one answer, this, and he drinks a potion, he grows into a giant.
Grows and grows.
He bursts through the roof of his where he was.
I wonder if there's a little sign on the bottle that says, drink me, like in Alice in Wonderland. He has turned into a giant and uses his giantness. Also, he's wearing a toga, a mini toga.
Mm.
So he needs to sit like a lady if he's going to be doing this over the city. But he constructs the dome single-handedly just in time, because the final earthquakes, which caused the last overpowering tidal waves, also buried Dr. Triton.
So Atlantis sinks into the sea?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he saved the continent.
So if I were to take like a plate with some little structures on it and put a bowl over it and throw it into the water and I seal the bowl, I would assume that the weight of it would be carried down to the bottom of the pool that I threw it into the water.
Well, in your scenario, I would assume if it was sealed with air inside, it would float on top of the water. But... presumably, the buildings of Atlantis were somehow anchored to the continental shelf, which is what was sinking.
I see. Okay.
But, unfortunately, Atlantis was saved, but it became Dr. Triton's tombstone.
Now, did Aquaman read this on that parchment? And if so, it was written by whom?
It must have been written by, I don't know. Name an ancient historian. Josephus?
Okay.
Josephus
of Atlantis.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So Dr. Triton sacrificed himself in his giant form because Dr. Triton knew he would never regain his normal size, and he also knew that very shortly after, he would turn from a helpful giant into a raging ogre. I guess that was also in the scroll, but he didn't read that aloud.
Yeah. The giant hand that grabbed Aquaman was probably
Dr. Triton.
Dr. Triton.
Somehow, through all these centuries, he survived down here and now has come awake to threaten Atlantis. That quake and a fish stampede were caused by him, meaning he may strike again.
Yep. So they go back to the canyon, but Aquaman wants to explore, and he orders Mira and Aqualad to stay behind.
To protect Aquababy, who, by the way, is nowhere to be seen.
No, I guess he's they've probably got crawled off again.
Well, maybe they have a nanny or something.
Oh, yes, an Aquananny.
They are the royal family, after all. Into the grottos around Atlantis swims the king of the seven seas. He can feel someone watching him, but from where? He still has that crystal rod, by the way.
Yeah.
It's Triton. He's found Aquaman and cut off his escape route. The giant hand gropes toward Aquaman. Aquaman fires that crystal rod energy at him. The hand is writhing in agony, and he must remember that this is not kindly Dr. Triton who saved Atlantis, but a colossal menace.
Menace, yes. So as the Aquaman's attention is focusing on the one hand, another hand comes out of belonging to...
Because he has two hands.
He has two hands. And grabs Aquaman and then casts him down into a hole in the cave floor.
Yeah, that'll teach him. And as the ruler of Atlantis halts his downward plunge, great waves, a rocket, a United States missile stuck down in the sea floor at the bottom of this cave.
Yeah.
Another hole above the one Triton tossed Aquaman through, which means the missile must have created the holes when it busted down here. Triton seemed to hurl me here on purpose, Aquaman says. I wonder if howling hurricanes, could that be it?
Could what be it, Aquaman? You don't have another second to meditate on it. Meditate, yes. Because someone else is entering the game. Someone who's double trouble and double deadly. Who could it be?
It's a Manta ship. But it's not Black Manta. It's his other worst enemy.
Yes.
His Ocean Master!
His other worst enemy, because worst is the most superior form of the superlative. So worst is like there's nothing worst.
Right.
I mean, we do accept first worst, second worst. But usually worst is like the worst. There's nothing beyond worst. We don't have worstest.
Right. Well, we do live in West Virginia, so we do have worstest.
Okay.
The Ocean Master has returned. It's Aquaman's own half-brother, Orm, whom Aquaman can't face an open battle for fear of harming him. Fine. Okay. Now, Orm does not know of this familial relation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. Maybe he does. Maybe he
does not. I remember correctly at the end of the comic, he does not know the familial relationship. He doesn't understand why Aquaman will not defeat him.
But he must have known about it at one time, because that's why he became Ocean Master, because he was jealous that Aquaman could swim under the
Aquaman
sea.
Aquaman gave him some sort of... There was a fight where he had amnesia, and then it sort of, as you're about to hear... Orm went kind of over the edge.
How do you remember that?
It's literally in the print right here.
It is?
You'll get it, yes.
Well, you know, I skim.
He's right here. It's on that one that is diagonal. He's mad. The blow that gave him amnesia long ago.
Oh.
So he doesn't know we're brothers also turned him completely evil and dangerous. But why is he here now? Okay, so, and I was like half asleep when I read that.
Okay. Well, I read it yesterday.
In fairness, I did go back and read it again because I knew that I was falling asleep while I was reading this. So,
nonetheless, Ocean Master does know that Aquaman's afraid to fight him, so he no longer needs to remain within his manta ship.
Yep.
At last, I tracked this missile down, though. I was afraid my little robbery had backfired.
You mean you stole this rocket?
By remote control, I jammed its steering gyros, sending it off course during a test. But counter-jamming made me lose track of it till now. Now I shall retrieve it and use its atomic warhead to blackmail the United States for $1 million. But the atomic warheads are designed to blow up if anyone steals them. I know. I've been an agent for Uncle Sam myself. That was a great issue when Aquaman and Mira were undercover secret agents.
Yes, I believe it was great. It was a great issue.
I believe that was our first issue of Aquaman. And they fought Ogre, O period, G period.
I remember that. Period, yes. E period. Yes.
I'm trying to remember what Ogre means. Organization for General Revenge and Evil. you're trying to scare me off,
Aquaman. That's what the HOA is now.
Now, Aquaman warns off Ocean Master. He says there's a booby trap, and which has been activated ever since the rocket came down. If you touch it, we'll both blow up. It's got to be defused. Ocean Master blasts Aquaman with his black light beam to deter him, but Aquaman still got this crystal rod. He zaps Ocean Master with a phazam of electricity.
Then Ocean Master touches his belt and releases these trident little, what does he call them? Belt blocks.
Well, little magnetic belt
powered by magnets, but they also have some sort of propellant on the back. See how
they have a rocket propellant, and they have three little mini harpoons on the front of it.
I suppose that would hurt. Which Aquaman successfully destroys all but one, and then he bats it like a...
Yeah, with the crystal rod, he shoots him down, but then bats the last one out of the way. If you can't shoot him, bat him. Famous old Atlantean saying.
And I love that bottom panel. Aquaman looks terrified. He says, "You must believe me. The rocket's booby-trapped. Let me defuse it."
"Very well," Ocean Master says. "Perhaps you speak the truth, but I warn you, no tricks."
Aquaman gingerly scoops away the crumbling coral around the rocket warhead.
"Now I know what Triton was up to. He was warning me about this rocket, warning me that Atlantis was a danger. That's why he tossed me down here." A glimmer of his old self still exists in that giant form. "The quake, the stampede, holding me out of water, all were messages he was trying to get across. With his huge hands, he couldn't defuse this rocket."
So, Orm. Orm.
O-R-M.
What's that short for?
Orm.
Orm. Like Ormond.
Ormenthal? I don't know.
"Oh. Hurry up, you coward. I must leave this area before the rocket's traced by the American Navy."
Well, Atlantis is safe, but now Aquaman has to figure out a way to stop Orm from getting away with it. But he tells Orm that the rocket's okay to be moved, and while he's doing that, Aquaman's going to jump him.
But Orm's on to Aquaman.
Yep.
He uses a pistol, a sonic pistol, that is pretty powerful underneath the water and hurls Aquaman out of the chamber that they're in, or into, I don't know, up against the wall or whatever.
Well, as knocks him unconscious. Know, sound travels very well underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Aquaman is hurled like a helpless ball out of the cavern. Orm makes off with the missile. Now in the tunnel where the Sea King's inert body lies, he's found by Aqualad.
Barreling barracudas, he says, is he dead? "Nope, I'm okay, Aqualad. But where did you come from?"
"It's where the Ocean Master is going that's important now, Aquaman. Come on, we've got to catch him."
I like that little, just like the little just deflection of the question.
Yeah.
"Where did you come from?"
Never mind.
We have to worry about this.
I mean, grumbling guitarfish.
Oh, can I look up what a guitarfish
is? Sure. While you do that, I'll explain that Ocean Master is escaping with the rocket. Has he beaten us at last? What?
Well, look at that.
What? Oh, well, it looks just like a guitar.
It really does.
I'll be dipped.
It's a type of ray.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
Well, he's sure beaten Aquaman because Aquaman can never fight him fairly, not my own half-brother, whom I didn't grow up with and didn't know existed until three issues ago. Suddenly, out of the murky depths, the seafloor erupts, and it's Triton himself taking a hand.
Notice he's still clothed in his giant...
He does have a giant toga.
How long has
toga.
He been underneath the ocean?
Well, conservatively, Atlantis sank about 9 or 10,000 BCE, so about 12,000 years.
Yeah, that tunic's really held up over the years.
I'll say. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's, you know, deep enough that there's low oxygen, it probably could be preserved.
Well, there's a lot of light for low oxygen.
Well, we're seeing it through... Aquaman and Aqualad's eyes, and they can see in near darkness because they're attuned to the ocean depths.
Oh, thank you. Triton, you do know so much about Aquaman.
I do like Aquaman. Mm. You know, I'm always rooting for the underdog, and mm-hmm. Aquaman was looked down upon for so long. Triton grabs the mantis ship in one hand and the missile in another, pulls the missile loose, and crushes the ship. Now, Aquaman's trying to stop him because he doesn't want Orm to die.
Right.
Not his own half-brother. But the Sea Titan only has hate and rage in his eyes. Only the crystal energy rod can help us now.
He attacks... what is this thing called? This giant ogre?
Triton.
With which makes him drop the
He drops
manta
the ship,
yes.
But he still has the rocket.
And he runs off with it.
Runs off.
Faster than they can swim.
Jumps into a chasm. Aquaman pulls Aqualad back from the edge.
Into a giant shell.
Into a giant shell because Triton has jumped down into this cabin and detonated the missile.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you notice that Triton doesn't have toes.
Oh.
He's got bare feet with no toes.
Well, maybe that's just an inking error.
I don't know. Well, there's a giant atomic explosion, and Aquaman says the tussle must have activated the rocket's triggering device. Dr. Triton sacrificed himself and saved us by leaping into that chasm.
My goodness.
The ogre and the helpful giant kept fighting inside him. Luckily, the helpful giant won out. Farewell, Dr. Triton. Atlantis owes you much once more.
I just was, while you were talking about that, I went through every single page to see if I could see what happened to Dr. Triton's toes, and they were never actually shown. It's not clear whether he was
wearing not until he
socklets or boots or booties or whatever.
Maybe he's just mutated by being under the ocean.
Yeah.
Now, yes. Not far off, in a battered mantis ship that still manages to stay afloat, Ocean Master is angry that his plan has been thwarted.
The giant thwarted my plan, but I escaped thanks to Aquaman's interceding. But why? Why does he save my life? Refuse to fight me. I will find out the secret, even if I must kill him for it.
All you panting Aquaman fans... No, the Ocean Master is in the dark about being Aquaman's half-brother. But you'll never be in the dark about the Sea King's adventures if you keep buying every issue of this magnificent mag. Meanwhile,
stay wet. Stay wet.
Stay wet.
Wet.
That's not a great tagline.
Mm-mm.
Stay wet. You stay wet. anything else to add?
No, this has been a good issue.
It was great. It was not bad.
Not bad.
I was going to look to see what's coming up next week to keep our loyal fan base.
Good Lord, if they stay with us this long.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra. And you can find us right back here next week with... Tomahawk. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Bye!
Hey, Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
Keep us sailing along.
High in the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have So everyone come on. Guide us. When you're beside me, we can